on, say it like you mean it. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can be who it says I can be.
And I will have what it says I can have.
Today, I will hear the word of God.
I boldly declare
that my mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
My ears are open.
And I better not go to sleep.
I'll never be the same.
In Jesus' name,
amen. Let's pray today. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for this church. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, for our lives, and through our lives. As I step back, I thank you for the Spirit of God ministering grace to the hearers of your word. I thank you in advance that as we hear it, faith is going to come. And Father, when faith comes, manifestation is on the way. So thank you for helping us have a great, not just a great momentum giving day, but Father, helping us have a great word day, because the word of God is what's going to live and never change. And so, Lord, we thank you for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow the word today. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, amen, amen. Give our online audience a big hand clap as you all go take your seats. Go ahead, you may be seated. So last Sunday, we celebrated 20 years of being a church. Can we just give the Lord another hand clap for that right there? 20 years of being a church. And I'm so grateful to God for what he has done in us and what he's doing for us and what he's doing through us. And let me just add, one of the things that I believe attract people to our church is because the way we love and the way we serve is authentic. Can you say amen to that? And what I don't want our church to become, and this is not part of the message, this is just one of those pastoral encouragements. What I don't want our church to become is are the things that you used to despise. In other words, let me say it like this. Don't become what you despised. You ever been to a church and they got all these cliques? No cliques. Look at your neighbor and say, no cliques. And you know, and as a church grows like we're growing, and as we're getting older, and it's possible that our church has the potential of becoming entitled. That's my seat. That's my parking space. That's my this, my that. The problem with entitlement is, there's nothing wrong with you saying you want a seat. I mean, I have a seat. I hope I can keep my seat. But what I don't want to do is have an attitude of entitlement. I'm the pastor of the church. If there's anybody that should be entitled, it should be me. But no, that's not good. That's not good for the heart. And if our hearts stay good, you know what happens? It attracts people, and God can change their lives while he's using us to do it. Can we say amen to that? Amen. All right. So today marks another hallmark for our church. It is our annual Giving Sunday. And you, those of you who are saying, oh, man, well, in light of all the negativity that, you know, we've seen on social media this week, how many know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. Yeah, well, in spite of all that and in light of all that, I want to share something that I believe will help us understand giving from a biblical standpoint so that your faith can rest in what God's word says about it. So if you're taking notes, or if you need the notes, raise your hands and our ushers will give you a copy of the notes that we have. I try to make sure that I give you copies of the notes so when you can go home, you can look at what I said, you can go back and study it and study it for yourself. So our message title today is The Spiritual Side to Giving. The Spiritual Side to Giving. So just look at somebody and tell them there's a spiritual side to giving. And the goal of today's message is to help believers understand that giving is not just physical, but it is also spiritual. Everybody say, giving is not just physical, it is also spiritual. Come on, say it with conviction one more time. Say, giving is not just physical, but it is also spiritual. Amen. So my first point, and I'm going to jump right in because I believe today's message is going to encourage you and bless you and also arm you with God's word so that you and I can walk this life out in success when it comes to giving. The first point I want to give you is that giving is biblical. Everybody say giving.
Yes.
It's biblical. It's biblical. And I think very few people would deny the fact that giving is biblical because there are too many references in the Bible that really shows us that. And so the reality of it is that giving is biblical. And honestly, the reality of giving is really this. Everything, everybody say everything.
Everything
God designed, he designed it to give. And if everything that he created or designed, that he designed it to give, if it were to stop giving, guess what? Everything and everybody would stop living. You say, what do you mean? Everything is depending on something to give for it to maintain life. In other words, God put everything here. He created everything on the earth. But everything he put here, including us, is depending on something to give to us and us to them for us to live. In other words, if the plants that God made, if they were to stop producing oxygen, did you know that plants produce oxygen? Go back to science 101 in the sixth grade. Well, plants produce oxygen so that all of the animal life and all of the human life wouldn't die. Well, guess what? If the animals stop, or the animals and the humans, because we're all in that form, if we all stop exhaling carbon dioxide, then all the plants would die. So everything that God created is connected to something else that needs to give to it. So everything dependent is dependent on something to give for it to live. Everybody say giving is biblical. Now, we can see that in salvation. If it was not for God giving his only begotten son, guess what? You and I wouldn't have eternal life. If it wasn't for Jesus giving up his life, we would not have eternal life. So giving is biblical. And so since today we've decided that this is the day that we're going to sacrificially give as a church, let's start out with the question, is sacrificial giving biblical? One of the reasons the name of our church is Word of Truth Family Church is because everything that we do here, I want it to be governed by what God says and not what man says. Say amen to that. So the question is sacrificial giving biblical? Well, we already just gave a couple of examples. Well, because God gave his only begotten son. That's sacrificial. That's like giving your last French fry up. Right? Or your first one, you know, it's like, let me taste it first and I'll give you one. No, God gave his only begotten son. That's an act of sacrificial giving right there. But what I want to do is look at one more example. And the example that we're going to look at when it comes to sacrificial giving today, it relates to a situation that's kind of like what we're doing. So let me give you the context. The context was, King David is addressing his constituents because it's his time of being king is about to end. So he was addressing everybody. And so in his timeline, he wanted to build God a temple. But God said to David, listen, you are a man of war. Your hands are full of blood. I don't want you to build me a temple. What I want to happen is I want your successor, who is your son Solomon, I want him to build me a temple. And so that's the context of what we're about to read. So in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 1, we're about to read a scenario where all of the people in this story is doing what we're going to do today. They are about to sacrificially give. So watch what it says. I'm reading out of the Amplified Version. It says, and King David said to all the assembly, my son Solomon, whom alone God has chosen, he's still young, he's still experienced, and the work that he has to do is great. For the temple, I love this right here. For the temple is not for man, but who is it for, church? It is for the Lord God. Don't get it twisted. I know the world wants you to put a despise on church, but you can't do that because it ain't for us, it's for Him. Amen. He says, listen, the temple is not for man, but it is for God. So verse 2, he says, watch what David says. With all my abilities, the King James says, with all my might. He says, I have provided for the house of my God. Notice he's made God's house personal. He says, I have provided for the house of my God gold for things that are gold, silver for things that are silver, bronze for things that are bronze, iron for things that are made of iron, and wood for things that are made of wood, and as well as onyx stones and stones to be inlaid, stones of adamantine. And then he talks about what that is. And then verse 3, he says, moreover, David says, because I delight in the house of my God, the personal treasure, everybody say personal treasure. He says, the personal treasure that I have of gold and of silver, I give to the house of my God. But watch what he says here. This is where sacrificial giving comes in. He says, but in addition to that, all that I have already provided for the holy house, namely, and then he talks about what he's given that's in addition. He says 3,000 talents of gold, and then he says 7 talents of refined silver. And what's interesting is, at the end, I'm going to show you 3 ways, main ways to give. But, when I give, I either ask God or I'll go with what's in my heart. And so what came in my heart for First Lady and I to give today actually matches Pastor Keith Craft's seed. So we're giving $10,000, not because Pastor Keith did it. We were already going to do that before he did it, right? But then I looked at this and it said, well, David gave $3,000 and $7,000. That's 10. Me and David are in agreement right there. So that's our gift. And I didn't say that to brag. I just say that because to me, it says follow those who through faith and patience receive the promise. You can't follow somebody if you don't know what they're doing. That's a good word right there. That's a good word right there. Because see, some pastors get up here and say they're giving something, they don't get it. Amen. I ain't going to mess with that. But anyway. So now watch the middle of verse 5. After David declares what he's giving over and above, then he does something that's interesting. He says, now, who is willing, everybody say willing, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? And then it says, then the rulers of the fathers of the households and the leaders of the tribes of Israel and the commanders of thousands and of hundreds with the overseers of all the king's work. In other words, these are all the people that are in leadership. He says, who's willing to consecrate themselves? And then the Bible says, they offered how, church? Willingly. We don't have to shut the doors, ushers. We don't have to do that. We don't have to. Was that shade? Do not post that as a clip. Don't do that. No, they willingly offered what they were given. And then it tells us what they gave. It goes on, the 5,000 tells us this, 10,000, 18,000, all this kind of stuff. And then watch verse 9. Then the people rejoiced because they had given how, church? Willingly, for with a whole and blameless heart, they had offered freely to, I love that. They offered willingly and freely. And my thing to you today, and if you don't want to give it willingly and freely, keep it. Yeah. Just keep it. Say amen to that. Amen. Everybody say sacrificial giving. It's biblical. And not only is it biblical, but it's also something that God asks, and a lot of times it's something that God requires. Listen to this, church, regardless of the financial state of the person. See, in Kings, 1 Kings 17, I'm not going to read the story. I'm just going to tell you what it says. This is where Elijah met a widow woman that God had told him that this widow woman was going to feed him and sustain him. When he got to this woman, he asked her for a little cake, and the Bible says she said to him, I only have a little. I was going to bake a cake for me and my son to eat, and then we were going to die. So she didn't have enough to start with. But then he asked her to give him one first. Talking about having the Last Supper, this woman was at her last, but God still required her or asked her to sacrificially give. Amen. Now, we know the story of what happened. The Bible says that her son, Elijah, and her whole house ate for many days after that. So I ask myself the question, I wonder what would have happened had that lady not sacrificially given. I believe she would have died just like she thought she would. Everybody say, giving is good. Now, there's another situation in the New Testament where Jesus asked somebody to give all of what they had. This is in Luke chapter 18, verse 23. He was talking to the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler was trying to find out what he needed to do to get eternal life. When Jesus figured out that really money had him and he didn't have money, he said to the young man, tell you what, I want you to give all of what you have, sell it, give it to the poor, and then come back and follow me. Well, listen to that young man's response. Verse 23, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Read this part with me, church. For he was very rich. So we can see the sacrificial giving was required when somebody didn't really have nothing. Or we had somebody who had everything. So regardless of our financial positions, God still expects us to give. And here is one of the main reasons why, and I'm telling you something, what I'm about to tell you right now can change your life. Here's one of the main reasons God wants us to give. It's because he wants us to trust him above all. Did you hear what I said? He wants us to trust him above all. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 17 says, he told Timothy, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to what? Trust in their money. Look at your neighbor and say, are you trusting in your money? See, it's hard to give what you trust in. He said, tell them to not trust in their money, which is so unreliable. But watch this. But trust, their trust should be in who, church? In God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. Watch this now. They should be rich in good works and generous to who? Those who are in need, always being ready to share with others. So listen, so our ability to trust God, church, is revealed by our ability to give. I'm going to say that again. Our ability to trust God is revealed by our ability to give. And that's why Jesus said we will find our hearts when we follow the treasure trail. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, he says, there is where you will find your heart. Which now brings us to point number two. Y'all are doing good this morning. And this is my main point, and that is giving is spiritual. Look at somebody and tell them, say, giving is spiritual. Those of you who are watching, giving is spiritual. And church, I believe that we have looked at giving as being physical for so long that we forgot that giving is also spiritual. We just read Matthew 6:21 where Jesus said, if we find our hearts, we will find our treasure. We just read that. So if giving something is done from the heart, that means that giving is spiritual. Why? Because the heart is spiritual. The heart is invisible. When God talks about believe in your heart, he's not talking about this physical pump that pumps blood. No, no, no. The heart of a person is the part of you that is going to live forever. It is the spiritual part of you. The Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 1 says it like this. And the context we're reading is really talking about women and how they can win over their husbands when their husbands ain't acting right. So this is just a bonus for the women. This is a bonus right here. He says, likewise, you wives. Okay, question. How many wives in here? Raise your hand. How many wives? Okay, so we're talking to you. If you're not a wife, we ain't talking to you. You save this sermon for when you get married. He says, wives, be in subjection or submitted to your own husbands. I like that because it's easy to submit to somebody else. You submit to your boss. He ain't even your husband. You submit to him. Okay. Well, that ain't on my script, so let me just stick with this. He says, submit to your own husbands, that if any husband does not obey the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the lifestyle or the conversation of the wives. He says, while they behold your chaste conversation or how you live, coupled with fear of the Lord, I'm adding that part. He says, who's adorning women, let it not be with plaiting hair. We'll say braids these days. They call it plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold and the putting on of apparel. He says, yeah, but watch verse 4. He says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. Everybody say, that's invisible. He says, let it be with the hidden man of the heart. Watch this. In that which is not corruptible. So the heart part of us is not corruptible. That is the spiritual part of us. That's the part of us that believes. That's why it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe where? In your heart. He ain't talking about this right here. He's not talking about this right here. In fact, Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26 says this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. There it is. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of what? Flesh. He's talking about the circumcision of a person's heart. Amen. So when you and I, when we read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 in particular, the focus a lot of times is wrong. The focus is not only on the gift that we give, but it's also where and how we give it. Because how you give something is just as important on what you give. Amen. What if I came home one day, and I wouldn't do this because I don't know if I'd be up here preaching if I did, due to murder. But anyway... Let's say I came home and bought a dozen roses for First Lady, right? And I brought them to her. And she was like, oh, babe, you bought those for me? And I say, yeah. And I just sling them at her. Pop her in the chest with them. First of all, after I wake up in heaven, y'all need to call 911 if y'all don't see me no more. It's like, well, Pastor, here we go. No, no. It's not what I did. It's, come on, church, it's what? It's how I did it. And that's what the motivation of the heart is all about. So in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, in the Amplified, it says, let each one give, watch this, here's the how, thoughtfully and with purpose. Just, watch this, as he has decided where, church? Okay, so if God is telling us when we give, we need to decide from the heart, that means that giving is spiritual. He says to give with your heart. Then he tells us how to do that. Not grudgingly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now let me say this. God, he loves a cheerful giver, but he don't hate an uncheerful one. Because there are times that I gave and I was not happy about it. Okay? And then it says, and he delights in the one, watch this, whose heart is in his what? His heart is in his gift. Giving is done from the heart, and the heart can't be seen, which makes giving spiritual. Everybody say giving, giving. Is spiritual. And because it's spiritual, watch this now, I'm getting ready to take a hard left real quick. Because it's spiritual, that's what connects giving to God, because God is spirit. Philippians chapter 4, and here's what people don't understand, and you may not have thought about it this way, but God actually delights in our giving. Watch Philippians chapter 4 verse 14. This says in the New Living Translation, even so, this was Paul talking to the Philippian church. He says, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty. As you know, you Philippians, you were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. Watch what he says. He says, excuse me, no other church did this. May I have some water? No other church did this. Watch this, because I, watch what he says. This is good. He says, no other church did this. Verse 16 says, even when I was in Thessalonica, he says, you sent help for me more than once. Then verse 17, thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Y'all give my assistant a hand clap. Praise the Lord. He says, even in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. See, that's repeated giving. Watch verse 17. He says, I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, watch this. I want you to receive a what, church? A reward for your kindness. So don't let people make you feel bad by expecting God to do something when you give. Okay? Watch verse 18. He says, at the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are, watch this now, this is where I said God loves our giving. He says, they are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that is acceptable and what? Pleasing to God. And then he goes on to say, and this same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs. So, if we make giving just a physical thing, then we remove God from it. You might as well just do social goodness stuff. You go for Goodwill. That's great. Go for United Way. That's great. But see, the kind of giving we're doing here is not that. Because those givings are not connected to the house of God, which God responds to. He's talking to a group of believers, and he says to them, listen, if you will do what's in your heart to do, he says, God will reward you for that. So when we make it just physical, we remove God from it. If we keep God in it, it becomes spiritual. And he is the one, here's why that's important, because he's the one that we're honoring with our giving anyway. Can you agree with me on that? And he's the one that can multiply the seeds that we sow. I don't know anybody. Now, the investment market can do that. They can multiply your seed, but they don't guarantee it. I mean, some of our 401ks have gone backwards, right? It's because the system, right? But God is a man or a God of his word, and he is the one that will multiply our seed, which now brings us to our last point, which is giving is reciprocal. Well, first we said giving was what? Let's see if you remember. Giving was biblical. Go on and look at your notes and tell me. Giving was what? Biblical was number two. Giving is spiritual was number three. Giving is reciprocal. In other words, giving, watch this, church, you may not have seen this, giving causes giving. When a farmer puts a seed in the ground, church, it causes the ground to give back to him. Did you get that? Everybody say giving causes giving. That's why Luke 6:38 is there. Notice Luke 6:38 doesn't tell us what to give, because it doesn't matter. Whatever you give, it's going to give back. You give with love, you get with love. You give with attitude, you get with attitude, right? When a farmer puts seed in the ground, he causes the ground to give back to him. And when you and I, when we add the spiritual component of giving to this, that God multiplies the seed that we sow, now it changes things. 2 Corinthians 9:10, I'm reading this, my last verse. It says, now he, God, who provides seed for who? For the who? For the sower. And watch this. And then bread for food. What will he do? He will provide, and what else? Multiply. Multiply what? Your seed for sowing. That is, he's going to multiply your resources and increase the harvest of your righteousness, which shows itself in active goodness, kindness, and love. So here's a take-home statement as we close. Here's a take-home statement. You can only grow what you sow. If a farmer puts strawberries in the ground, what are you going to get? You're going to get strawberries. If a farmer put olives in the ground, what are you going to get? Amen. You sow bad attitude in your relationship, what you going to get? Probably a bad attitude. Not unless they mature like me. I'm going to be sweet all the time. How many know I'm lying? Praise the Lord. You can only grow what you sow. So here are three major ways to give. There may be others, but here's three, and these are so good. You sow when there's a need. We just read that. That's why it's so important for you to get in a position of having more than enough. Because you can have not enough, you can have just enough, you can have more than enough. If you have just enough, and the moment someone has a need and you give them some, you have now just dropped from just enough to not having enough. But if you always have more than enough, then God can use you to be a blessing and you still can take care of you. Say amen to that. So you give when there's a need. But then here's a second way to give. You give what your heart conceives. That's why it says purpose in your heart, what you give, right? But then here's the third one, which is interesting, and that is when God decrees, because sometimes God wants you to do something. He may have told you to do something specific today. I don't know. He didn't give me nothing specific, so I purposed in my heart what it is. And I believe, because I'm connected, I believe that's something he wanted me to do, right? But see, here's the thing. When God decrees something, here's something. Now, this is deep right here. I believe our obedience determines our breakthrough. Everybody say, my obedience determines my breakthrough. So I want to do a momentum seed confession before we sow our seed today. He said, well, I've already sowed my seed. Fine, we're going to water it with this confession. And I just want you to do this confession for at least 90 days. Okay, 90 days. I made it short so you can do that. You say, well, Pastor, why do you do that? Let me ask you a question. How many have ever built a house and they had to put new grass down? New grass? How many just watered that grass one time? Just once. You wouldn't have grass after that. You would have dirt. No. You have to water. And what else? You have to water some more. What else you have to do? You have to water some more. And listen. The water is for the what? It's for the grass, right? Well, I believe faith comes how? By hearing. And I also believe that we call things that be not as though they were. So I want you to say this confession every day for 90 days. It's real short. We'll send it out in something that where you can do it. So why don't we stand? Why don't we stand right here? Right here, we'll stand. In fact, grab your envelope. I got the first lady. We gave in two parts. She gave online. I'm you know, when I give like big money, I don't like giving it online because they take some of it. Amen. You know, they take a percent. So when I'm writing it, but I ain't asking you to do that. I'm just saying me. I'll write a check so that way, you know, it's going to clear. Praise the Lord. So I want you to, now, if you gave electronically, hold your phone up so that way you feel like you're connected to what we're doing. All right. Hold your envelope up or hold your phone up. And if you're watching online, if you're watching on your phone, I don't know what you need to hold up. Why don't you just put your hands up? Okay. All right. And I want you to repeat after me. Say, Lord,
thank you
for providing me with seed to sow.
Your word declares
that you will multiply
my seed
when I sow. So I thank you today
that as I sow,
you will make it grow.
I'm going to say that again.
So I thank you today
that as I sow,
you will make it grow.
Cause financial momentum
to happen in my life.
Open doors
that I couldn't open.
Cause favor
that I didn't expect
to come to me.
And cause overflow
and abundance
to abound towards me.
I declare
that as you bless me,
I will continue to be a blessing
in Jesus' name.
Come on, just praise him right there. Just praise him right there.
Hallelujah. So I'm going to ask the ushers, you can be seated. And they're going to pass the receptacles right now and pick up your gift if you have one. And then if you're giving electronically, thank you for doing that. If you're online, let us know where you're giving from. And I want to take this moment, as they do that, to talk to people who haven't given their life to Jesus Christ yet. Can I say this? I've seen people be so critical of church, but their life is in shambles.